CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, it's a new week. It's going to be a short week. By the time you get to Friday, you're like, but there's still another day. But there isn't. Yes. Hope everybody had a good Heritage Day. I saw loads of people walking around in traditional outfits and beads and all kinds of things. I think it's catching on, this Heritage Day thing. I think people
That's
like
great.
It. Yeah, it is great. It adds color. There was a woman, I went to the gym yesterday, and at the little kawaii, there was one of the ladies who's wearing this extremely colorful, beautiful, bright green and red and orange and yellow thing, and she had duke, and she looked really good. She looked fantastic. I liked it. It made me happy. You know, when you see bright colors, you see people dressed up and they're proud of themselves, and it makes everybody happy. So I'm a big fan. I like this whole thing that's starting to take off on Heritage Day.
Nice.
Yes. Good morning. So, okay, look, let's take stock of the crew this morning. There's Leanne Moll.
Good morning.
Oh.
Sia Sangweni.
Guys, stop the breathing.
You didn't know we were coming to you, huh? Yeah. Ben Karpinski.
Surprise.
Hello.
Yeah.
And Nolo Healy.
Very good. Do you think other people clap for themselves like this every morning when they just
really
walk into the office?
They really should.
Okay. I think it would make everybody feel better, you know? If you get a little bit of attention first thing in the morning, like, oh, look at me. I'm such an exciting person. I get attention.
Jack has walked into the office. Jack from HR. Look at you, Jack.
So, how was everybody's weekend? Long weekend?
Yeah, long. It felt long. It's nice.
Anybody get up to any fun?
I actually really don't want to be selfish, but say I really did have a long weekend and I enjoyed it. I don't know about you
What do you
guys.
Mean by that? Because you were planning to be very, you know, chilled, right?
Yeah, it didn't end up that way at all. At all. But I'm not complaining. Don't you ever feel like if you plonk a lot of things into your
I always
two,
feel like
free days,
I like to plonk a lot of things.
Okay.
Mm. Oh, you're a plonker.
Especially in the morning.
Is plonking good for you in the morning?
It's very important.
Okay, now I learn more.
Depends if you're a plonker or not.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you put a whole lot of things in? Or
yeah.
You did?
So I did. So because of that, I think you're always running around and. So as soon as you hit your bed, you're out like a light. I just had a good weekend.
Well, that was me on Sunday night and last night, having a nice fat sleep, taking it easy. Friday and Saturday, I tore the ring out of it. I was in Cape Town.
Oh.
Went out with some friends. It was just parties both nights. I behaved like a teenager. In fact, no, there's no teenager who behaved as badly as I did. And I ended up having my phone expropriated from me without compensation by a very nice Nigerian man at knife point.
Oh my God. That happened to me twice in Cape Town.
That happened to me.
Listen,
and once was by like 13-year-olds.
No,
Ben just is not. He's not impressed or surprised. My sister's boyfriend, who's from Cape Town, said to me he once got mugged twice in one night in Cape Town.
Stop,
yeah,
guys.
Mine was twice in a week.
Cape Town is fucking dangerous.
Where are you guys hanging out?
No, normal streets.
Normal, like places where people. There are people all over the place. I wasn't even
after,
on my
after
own.
After dark.
Yeah, anytime after dark.
There we go.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, look, I wasn't scared or anything because I was kind of drunk.
It happens quite quickly, though.
It happens so quickly. And I don't know, these guys are mostly cowardly, but I just wasn't. You know what? He had a knife. I wasn't willing to get stabbed for a stupid iPhone.
But did he pull out a knife at you?
Yeah, that's what I said, yeah.
But, like, what was the setting? Was
on route to an Uber.
Okay.
Right? Which was on the street corner of these two streets. And there were other people around. And this guy just came up and very calmly said to me, "Hey, I see that's a nice iPhone you have."
Yeah, it's quite scary and invasive,
like,
really.
I was like, you know what?
Quick.
I'm not going to argue with this dude. I can see he means business. He was as focused as can be. I was like...
Was he walking alone?
I had the phone in my hands, obviously, because I was looking for the Uber, right?
Yeah.
And then I just gave it to him. And then he ran because he was obviously, he knew he didn't, he wasn't going to back it up. So
did you shout?
No, there was no point.
I screamed like hell the first time.
Look, and I always have a burner phone in my bag, so I went back to the hotel. Got my burner phone out.
What do you mean you always have a burner phone? What is going on here?
You have to have it.
I do too, because of this situation.
Yeah, so I just cancelled and erased that phone, you know, which you can do from Find My iPhone, and then, you know, went to sleep.
I'm sure that's sobered you up the next day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. You very quickly realize, like, okay, time for bed.
Shucks.
Have you guys ever experienced when it happens that it's almost like an out-of-body experience?
Yeah, completely.
It's like you're watching it happen to someone else.
Yeah.
That's how I felt every time. It's a weird thing, huh?
I think the most humiliating for me was when it was... I also had my phone out. I was walking and using Google Maps while I was walking. Mm-hmm. And these three kids are walking towards me.
Uh-oh.
Two girls and a little boy.
Huh.
Yeah, they were like 13.
Okay, kiddies.
Yeah.
Hello, little kids.
They walked up to me. They all put their bodies against me.
Uh-oh.
And that shocked me. And you kind of let go of your phone. You loosen your grip because you're like, what's going on? And they just slid it out of my hand and ran off.
Yep.
And I screamed. I got my tear gas spray out. And I started running, and they turned around and laughed at me.
No!
Yeah. And I screamed, and I went. Eventually, I said, just come here. I just want to tell you something. Yeah. I just wanted to spray
them.
There's
nothing else you could do, right?
You're on the wrong course in life, all of you.
Insane.
But, you know, we're laughing about
Listen,
this.
You little kids, you've got a lot to learn.
Yeah, and the second time was like five big Nigerian guys.
Oh, shit.
That time, also, my hand just let go of the phone.
You said you wanted to tell them something.
I want to tell you something. Come back.
We're laughing about this now, but the reality is that as much as it's a long gone thing, it sticks with you. It stays with you.
It really does.
But it seems to me like Cape Town is really bad.
It is.
Like, this has never happened to me in Joburg or Pretoria. And I've been to some fairly dodgy places in Joburg and Pretoria. Never happened in Cape Town. I mean, in these places. Mm. It's happened there.
Yeah.
Weird, huh? And then people seem to... Everybody, when I told them all this, they're like, yeah, it's Cape Town.
But I've like, told it's you just guys, accepted. I've told you how I got stabbed many times in Cape Town, and at some point I was held at gunpoint.
But
so
why
I'm
did you
surprised.
Get stabbed? What were you... You resisting?
Oh, I fight.
Oh, you fight.
And
that's
nothing was ever taken from me all those times.
Nice. See, I don't want to fight. I really just realized at that point, because the last thing you want... It's like a bleeding arm at whatever time in the morning.
Yeah.
It's going to sort that out. It's not worth it. Really. You know, if it was my wallet, maybe I would have fought more, because then you have to get all of that stuff.
Oh, and you got to go to like Home Affairs.
So luckily, it was just the phone. I'm okay with it.
But the thing is, with me is that I don't plan to fight. It just sort of kicks in. That's and I think about it the next day. I'm like, shit, I could have gotten killed or something. But I don't think about it when it happens.
But also, you know, we blacklist these phones. What do they do with them afterwards?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
There are places where you can unlock them.
See, the same people that kind of steal the phones know the people who know how to unblacklist a phone. It's a circle of thug life.
But I'm not going to go with this as God's truth, but my cousin who works in the tech world says a lot of phones you can break open or unlock or whatever the case is, but iPhones are really, really difficult to. So it's really non. So yeah,
what do you
use
do?
I
mean,
steal
like,
an iPhone, for example.
Is there do shops that repair these things take them in and say, "Oh, sure, we'll fix that for you," thinking that's the owner? Because what do you do to offload yourself of a stolen iPhone? If anyone knows, I'd be fascinated to hear.
I think there's like a street version of iFix or WeFix.
Yeah, it is.
Street fix.
Yeah.
Thug fix.
Apparently today is the last day of free Twitter, which means there's going to be a lot less trolls. What does that mean? Does anybody know?
One of the cellular providers, cellular networks, has been providing free Twitter for their users.
Oh.
And now over the weekend, they decided, okay, nah, it's too much of an expense for us.
Oh, good.
So they're taking away free
Excellent.
Twitter, and people have been complaining the whole weekend.
I'm so excited.
Watch now, just the number of users
Watch
drop.
Will the EFF do?
Yeah. Okay, so that's interesting. That's really interesting. Also, I hear that...
Did that just lighten your day a bit?
Was it supposed to be a permanent thing?
I don't know. It was more than just like a three-month campaign, that's for sure. It lasted for a number of years.
You know, I don't think that these things should be free. I think you should pay for, even if it's a little bit. If you get something for nothing, you don't value it. You should always have to pay for something that is valuable to you. And I've told you, I don't have Twitter on my phone anymore. I took that off the phone a long time ago. I have it on my laptop like anybody would on a browser. But that's it. That's all I have it for. Facebook as well now. And I'm slowly getting them all off. I've never really been on Snapchat, so I don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
WhatsApp is still on my phone. I need that.
Gareth, nothing's on your phone. You haven't got one.
Well, that's right.
It's Ben.
My backup, Ben. But you know, here's the thing, right? I back up my phone fairly regularly. Mm. So I had a copy of it on my computer at home, and it wasn't much of an issue. It took about 3 hours altogether to get all that info back on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that problematic, but I was thinking while it was all happening, which of these can I actually offload at this stage? Like, which of these apps do I not need? If you have more than two screens, I think you have too many apps.
Or you're a 14-year-old girl.
It's not only the screens, I've got folders with loads.
Oh, do you? You have folders?
I've got three pages of folders.
Sure.
Yeah, same with me. And somehow I justify all of these.
I mean, like, do you just keep a whole trillion apps?
I have a lot of fitness apps which make me feel good.
I have a lot of photo editing apps which make me feel good.
And the one morning I'm lying in bed and an advert comes up for what's it called? Calm, you know that the app Calm.
Oh yes.
And it says do nothing for 30 seconds, and there's just like rain, rain on a leaf. And at the same time, I get a notification from one of my fitness apps going, 2 minutes to your new body. Oh, get ready to train. You can imagine which one I chose. Hey.
Oh man, but it is irritating to have to go through these things because you suddenly realize how attached you are to your phone, right? And when you go through the process of like your banking is on there, everything, you get a little bit paranoid. I mean, I knew I'd erased everything, but I suddenly started thinking, oh shit, what if I didn't do it properly? What if it's still active? What if this guy who stole my phone can access all that stuff? You know what I mean?
It's a problem.
Yeah. Do you have Find My iPhone?
Yeah. Mm. I've tried it, and it's been deactivated. It hasn't gone back online. So whoever he's selling it to, or whatever he's doing with it, it's no longer operable. Certainly not as far as I can find it.
Well, I don't want to sound like that auntie in the crew, but at least you're safe.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
but I had a really good weekend though. I got a lot done in terms of work on Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday morning I flew back, but Friday evening and Saturday, I had a really good time. Went to this house party. It was incredible. I don't know who invited who, but there were these five, I think they were Lebanese girls who spoke French.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's quite a swirl.
And they had rented this amazing house in Clifton. And they just invited a bunch of people. It was a whole lot of Cape Town people who had actually met the night before. But we were all suddenly there in these girls' house partying with them. And there was food and there was drink and there was music and it was like a really fun house party. Just out of the blue.
And
I'm like, hi, are you the host? So this girl goes, yes. So I said, oh, thanks for inviting us. She said, oh, it's a pleasure.
Was it you and your friends?
There were probably, I don't know, there must have been 25, maybe even 30 people at this party.
Yeah, nice. But who did you know
there? Yeah, I knew. I went with three of my friends. Okay. So there were four of us, and then there were a whole lot of other people. But it was fun. I mean, like, all these people kept arriving, and they all knew each other. So there's obviously a Cape Town clique.
Mm.
And I just found myself in the middle of this, and it was great. These girls were making, like, pizzas, and then they had this guacamole dip, and there were nachos, and They'd gone to a lot of trouble. They were really catering for everybody. There was lots to drink.
Actually, now that I think of it, first met Jeannie D, no one really knew who Jeannie D was at that stage.
Yeah.
and we ended up at a house party. Somebody who I didn't know, and everything was just provided, and it was there, and it's weird. Everyone just got on with it.
You know, there are people in Cape Town who just do this. They just host parties for anybody. You just have to know the right people, and you're in.
That's the life.
I'm telling you, they have parties on boats. They have parties in houses that aren't theirs. They rent out clubs. It's amazing.
Gareth. That is the party life of Cape Town.
But I mean, I could never do that 24/7. And I've always said Cape Town makes a really, really lovely mistress, but not such a great wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sexy while you're there for the 2 seconds that you're there. Don't know how it is every single day.
Yeah. But how's this? I mean, I talk about Ubering around because I landed at Cape Town Airport and I sometimes rent a car, which is kind of pointless in Cape Town because everything's close if you're in town and you don't have to leave town.
And you have to park in Belleville no matter where you go.
Wow.
So I asked them at the car rental place, you know, I need a car. And they looked around and they said, oh, we can only give you a Fortuner. It's like quite a big,
massive car.
Oh, yeah. Right. So I said, no, I don't want a Fortuner. They're like, oh, okay, well, let me just tell you how much it would cost anyway. It's like over $3,000. For 3 days to rent this thing. And I said to them, you guys are crazy. So I just got an Uber. And I must have
spent $3,000 the whole time.
No, for the entire trip, I think it must have been maybe $1,000. Maybe.
And you could be drunk the whole time. So
right.
That's the thing about the $3,000 and you got to be sober $3,000.
And by the way, by the $1,000, I include a trip to go and visit my aunt and back. And she's in Muizenberg. So that's a long way.
Mm-hmm.
The airport trips back and forward, which are at least $100 between them. So, you know, I think that's real value. Plus, I even had to pay for my car in Joburg to be put into the valet parking, and all of that together didn't come up as much as $3,000, which is what they wanted to rent me a car for. So I'm learning, like, you know, more and more, you don't need... Airbnb has become everyone's hotel or holiday home, wherever they want it. And Uber has become a fleet of cars that you can just use whenever you need to. And drivers, you've got a chauffeur whenever you need one.
Well, that's the important aspect, is the safety, or supposed safety, being driven around by somebody.
Yeah, I know it's been obvious to me for a long time, but I'm suddenly starting to, I'm really starting to appreciate these things.
But just think what a hit the car rental industry must have taken as well.
Yeah.
Because if you go for business, Cape Town, say you go for like 4 or 5 days.
Absolutely.
You used to get off the plane, stand in a queue of people coughing, and you used to get a rental car which you hated. That was life.
Mm-hmm. And it was always a rental car you hated.
Exactly. So
you spend half an hour in the parking lot trying to figure out how it works.
Right. Yeah, and then you were
phoning people going, how does an automatic work?
And then you would shut the door and you'd always go, oh, well, that's made well. And then you'd, but now you can just get someone to drive you somewhere.
And also when I travel for work, I really find it useful because on my way to meetings, I just work on my laptop in the back of the car.
I get car sick if I do that.
But you know, in Cape Town, that's like if you're an Uber driver. I spoke to my guy the last time I was there. If you go to a certain area, you can have your car impounded straight away.
For?
He's just being dick because they haven't been given licenses or given special, whatever it is.
Really? So there's places they can't go.
No, the guy said, like, if they impound my car, I've got to pay them $20,000 to get it back.
What?
And it happens quick. Like, they're hardcore about it. So every single person wants to use the thing, but the city of Cape Town are being dickbags about it. So it's hard work. So, yeah, I mean, you just said, like, so nowadays, this is what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get government or anybody who's just really undynamic, and then they hold it all back.
Well, it was Will.i.am who said, when he was a young guy growing up, he thought, one day I'll be rich enough to have holiday houses all over the world and chauffeurs to drive me around. And if you look at it, in some way, that's what you get out of things like Airbnb.
Yeah. And Uber. Own a holiday home.
It's a mess. It's a drag on your resources, right?
Yeah.
No, sorry, it's still fabulous to me.
No, it's
holiday home and a caftan. Ooh, wee.
Great ransom. But if you own it, every time you go to it, you got to go, oh, I've got to fix the roof. I've got to fix this.
Yeah.
I've got to fix that.
There's always something to do.
They need to fix that. Nah, don't worry about that.
Like, why would you, the ego, I own this house in Arniston.
Oh, well, now Nalia ends upset. Arniston's all she had.
Goodbye, Aniston.
No, I think it's really just for people who have money to burn. They're just so rich that they don't know what else to
do. And if you've got like a big family and then you go there like four times a year or whatever and you want a picture of you and a fish in a hallway or something, yeah, great. Then have a house.
You and a fish
in a hallway.
Okay.
Yeah, because then you want it to be like your place. Okay? Yeah, you get that dynamic and then there's great value in that.
Otherwise, of course. Yeah.
But the nice thing about owning it is that you never have to book when you have to go.
That's true.
You can keep clothes
but
there.
That's a small issue. Would you rather be paying a monthly levy or rate to the council or rubbish removal, electricity, water? What if someone leaves the geezer on and it's your place? You know what I mean?
Mm. And also, when an Airbnb gets broken into, the owner doesn't tell you. You don't care. You're only there for one week a year. When your house gets broken into, it's not your problem.
You don't give a shit about that stuff. Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, this is the world we live in now. And it is incredible how technology, even though we pretend we're not so reliant on it, we are hopelessly reliant on it. And when a phone goes missing, you're basically a homeless person. You have no way of communicating with anybody.
You have no social standing.
No.
Yeah.
You can't get a cab. You can't use your banking app. There's nothing you can do. You're out there in the wilderness, I'm telling you. It's like you've been cut off from society.
And the pain of remembering all the passwords.
Oh.
Well, I'm taking this as it's an opportunity. I hate to sound like a politician, but for me to actually change all my passwords as well.
I'm not even being
dramatic. As they come up, I'm going to change them.
Are you changing them to one thing? Because I want to try and do that.
You know what?
They say it's not
safe.
They
say that's a bad idea.
Mm. I'm sure it is, but what goes on in my brain when I have to think of one is a bad idea.
Mm. Yeah, actually.
I have an app where I can store all of my various passwords and secure that app, and I lost that password for a while. So I'm just like, well, I hope I don't need the app anytime soon because I'm pretty screwed. But I'm not even being dramatic at this point. Like I can feel my heart pump just at the thought of losing the phone. So really we are all just so reliant on our apps and our technology day in, day out, really.
Well, we've got an interesting show for you today. We've got Robin popping by from Lifestyle Home Garden. And today we're going to talk about indigenous plants and why you should plant them because of Heritage Day, of course.
So in other words, dacha.
No, we did get an email about dacha from somebody. They said they want Robin to give us the lowdown on how you grow dacha.
Uh-huh.
And she's going to do some research. She's very studious. She's going to come back with some answers. So don't worry. If that's what you're wanting, that's what you'll get. And later on, Yanez Famirin and Yusuf Stevens will pop by, the managing directors of Cheeky Media. They've built this television talk business out of their experiences with Top Billing all those years ago. And they've been very, very busy. They're disrupting the television industry. And they're going to talk to us about what they do, how they do it, and where they both come from. So hang around for that. It's time for the five things you need to know this morning. I've got a few. You want to start with mine?
Okay.
All right. So first of all, Apple are completing their deal to buy Shazam, if you care about that. Was it last week that Apple revealed their phone that no one is excited about?
Yes.
Ben tells me, is this true? The phone has a resolution that's exactly the same as the iPhone 4.
The iPhone XR something, because you get the iPhone XS and you get like the top-end stuff, and you get one they've called affordable, which is still more expensive than Android flagships, like lesser-known ones. And if you really work it out per pixel, it's basically the screen of an iPhone 4.
Ooh.
So what they've done is quite dick. In order to basically differentiate their markets, they've got a perfectly good phone, but they've got out of their way to give you a shit screen, so there's a difference between that one and the premium ones.
Like a shit screen.
It's still obviously a good phone, but they've given you a shit screen, so you can go, oh, well, it's the affordable one. Sorry. Meanwhile, they're just giving you less.
Bastards.
They could have given you more.
Well, Apple has also completed the acquisition of music discovery app Shazam. Who uses Shazam? Everybody, right?
Yeah, I still use it.
Yeah. When I hear a cool song, I use it. Works damn well for me. The deal announced in December last year is expected to help the iPhone maker better compete with Spotify, the industry leader in music streaming services. Ben uses Spotify. He loves it.
Yeah,
it's amazing, but I would have thought that Spotify, to be the ultimate, the everything, the He-Man master of the musical universe, would have tried to buy that as well.
Mm.
Because like the only
there
thing
must it, have been a bidding war.
The only thing it doesn't have that Spotify doesn't have is that
song
is
recognition.
Song recognition.
The He-Man master of the universe.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the one. And then in pops Apple Skeletor and takes it. While we're
if
talking
you're
about
the age of 30, that's all great references.
While we're talking about apps, Instagram's co-founders have stepped down from the company. They have notified the photo sharing apps leadership team and Facebook on Monday about their decision to leave, because you know Zuckerberg now owns Instagram as well. The newspaper report, that's the New York Times newspaper reported, citing people with direct knowledge of the matter. Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger have resigned as chief executive officer and chief technical officer and plan to leave the photo sharing app in a few weeks. They've notified everybody and they did not give a reason for their departure, adding they plan to take time off after leaving Instagram.
They've probably come up with something better.
Yeah.
Or really enjoying their money now.
Wouldn't be hard to do. All right, then back to some news that doesn't involve apps and phones. Limpopo bus crash driver was arrested after trying to flee into Zim. You know, there was that bus crash in Limpopo. Ugly thing, overturned, killing at least 9 people. And they found the driver, but he was trying to run away to Zimbabwe. He was taken to hospital along with passengers for treatment, escaped from the hospital, and then was found hiding inside a goods trailer of a vehicle which was traveling to Zim. The police's Mwache Mwepe said, as the process of intensive investigations by police was unfolding, the driver disappeared following his discharge from the hospital and fled towards the Beitbridge port of entry. The police were notified and he was subsequently arrested. So at least we've got him in custody. I mean, you can't drive like these bus drivers sometimes do, kill people, and then just flee.
It happens a lot when the accidents just happened. It's like a fright or flight thing where some people run away. But I suppose he realized he was about to face big consequences.
Well, we got some more news stories at 7, but just quickly, Edna Molewa died, you know, the late Environmental Affairs Minister. And according to Greenpeace, she was a true climate champion in South Africa, in the international community as well. And they say that they hope her successor will be as committed to the environment as she was. She passed away on Saturday in a Pretoria hospital. I read in the newspapers yesterday that she caught some virus in China. I know.
Yeah, because she was traveling like 3 weeks before her death. I think she was in Beijing, they said.
That sounds horrible. You catch something in China and the next thing you're dead.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a really bad form of pneumonia.
Yeah. Not good. Apparently, tributes have continued to pour in for the minister, with COPE adding its voice to those commemorating her life. Her contribution towards the achievement of freedom is unparalleled. What people don't know about her is that she spent more than 6 months in detention because of ANC activities in the 1980s. And you know that is like the biggest thing on anyone's CV in politics in this country, if you spent time in jail for politics. You want one more?
Sure.
Cyril has unveiled a statue of Madiba at the UN headquarters. It is a 1.9-meter high sculpture and will serve as a constant reminder of the role that Nelson Mandela played in advocating for peace. And it was unveiled at the United Nations on Heritage Day by President Cyril Ramaphosa, who's in New York at the moment. All right, that's the stuff you need to know. Bitcoin's trading at $6,463, Ethereum at $221, and time for Ben to give us some sport.
Yes, Gareth, Luka Modric is the best. Tiger Woods is even better. And Serena Williams still at odds with her coach.
Take it away.
29.05% of all the voters in FIFA's best awards believe that Luka Modric is the best of all the footballists in the world.
But do you?
Well, I couldn't really care, to be honest. Cristiano Ronaldo was second with 19.08% of the votes, and then Mo Salah was third with 11.23% of the votes. So obviously Modric took the very unfavored Croatia to the World Cup final, where he won the FIFA Golden Ball, so that means you're the best player in the World Cup. He'd also been pretty handy for Real Madrid, who did of course win the Champions League again last season. So yeah, fair play to him. All very good, all very nice. Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, will be very pissed off by this because he will always believe he is the best. But in order to be the best, you need to believe you're the best. And best stuff. Everyone else who is really great at football got sort of honored in this whole thing. And of course, this is after the Ballon d'Or was basically eclipsed by FIFA saying, well, we're going to have this one rather. It's easier to pronounce for really dumb football fans.
So, the Ballon d'Or is now, what is it, no more, or is it still there?
I just think it's something you do at a certain nightclub at like 3 a.m. with a guy called Pierre. But now it's just best. It's easy.
Okay, yeah. So they've just given it a new name.
Yeah. So well done, Luka Modric. Yeah. So over the weekend, of course, Tiger Woods won. Now this is huge. It's absolutely huge because back in April 2017, he had a back injury which basically fused discs in his lower back. April 27th. How about
also,
that?
His superpowers were taken away because he wasn't with all the hookers.
Well, guys, during his marriage to that Swedish woman, Ellen.
Ellen Nordegren.
It was rumored that Tiger put the wood to 120 other women. I mean, he was just throwing his cock around like a dog chew toy at some stage. It was just rough. Well, but then he was winning. Well, everyone's got a formula, Gareth. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying. It's not the best, maybe, way of going about a marriage. So, think back. April 2017, he was fusing his back. In May 2017, he had about every recreational sort of prescription drug in his system while he was drooling in a car.
Yes, I remember that. And he smashed into
in October 2017, he pled guilty to, like, the ultimate DUI. This last weekend, he won the Tour Championship.
That's amazing. He's on his way back, Ben.
It is such a sensational comeback. Like, I was one of the people who didn't believe Tiger could get back to the levels, obviously, because what did I just tell you? You're fusing backs. You're taking drugs.
Sure.
You've lost your superpowers of banging hookers. Like, where was the guy going to get his strength? It was like Thor without his hammer, but also Thor without, like, I don't know, his muscle. Like, the guy had
Thor
nothing.
Without, yeah,
the guy, the guy had nothing. But he's found his way back. Like, he doesn't have a swing coach. That's what makes it interesting. Tiger just felt, screw it, I'm just going to work my way back the way I feel. So I know what I've gone through with my back. I know what I've gone through in my life. I'm going to feel it out and do whatever I believe is best for me. So without a swing coach, obviously there were some fundamentals that were put in place to get his swing back to where it can be successful after the back operations. And then from there, he was just going to wing it. And wing it he did. He was more likable. Everything about the guy is just so much better now. He's like the Tiger 2.0. But at the same time, people still believe it was never good enough to challenge the best players in the game. Now, the Tour Championship, of course, is the 30 best players on the PGA Tour after the season. So it's the end, it's the pinnacle of the FedEx Cup. And there was Tiger just wire to wiring it at the East Lake, which obviously is a place he's had success before. But some of the greatest scenes in sports, like when he finished off his fourth round on Sunday night, like there was just thousands of people absolutely everywhere. And he is like the people's champ. Everyone loves Tiger. Golf is just such a better game with him. And everyone just loses their shit whenever he's around. It's just, he's that good. And he absolutely blew everyone away. Okay, only won by two in the end. But I mean, he had already kind of won going into the back nine. Everybody else was faltering. And this is the difference. The best golfers in the world right now are really, really rich. Tiger, though, is really, really great. There's a big difference between the two. And to think that he's only on an upwards trajectory from here. So he will go to the Ryder Cup. He's there right now in Paris. And of course, people are saying, yo, but is he still with the sluts? Does he have a girlfriend? What's the story?
Who cares?
Well, everyone cares. Tiger.
No, but I mean, if he's playing as well as he is,
but that's the question.
He's going to bring a whole lot of people back to the game. The golf game has never done as well as it did when Tiger Woods was at the top of his game.
I know, but you even alluded to the point. His superpowers were the sluts.
Yes.
So my question is,
they must have them.
Everyone's saying, is he back there?
Sure.
No, he's actually been faithful by the looks of things. He's got like a long-term girlfriend. Someone used to manage one of his restaurants. Her name is Erica Herman. And from all these reports that I've cross-examined, is that she basically stalked the living crap out of him. Oh. And, he seems happy. So right. She's been in public with him. There was a big touchy kissy moment after he won the Tour Championship. So yes, Tiger does have a girlfriend, if that's what you're wondering. He hasn't just been put in the wood to whatever's going around. So the guy seems to have a lot going on right now. Everything's in the right sort of place, and he's getting better and better and better. Still 42 years old, still some fuel in this tank, and I'm happy to be proven wrong, and it just really is. He is the greatest sports person ever. You can take me on there any way you wish.
All right.
But do believe, if you're not, you don't come with the facts and the figures and the silver spoon, then you've got nothing on the statement. Tiger is the greatest thing that ever happened to sport.
It's quite a big statement to make first thing on a Tuesday morning.
But he really is, Gareth. Okay. He really is. No one else. If Usain Bolt had to go from his sprinting career to actually play for Real Madrid, he still wouldn't be Tiger Woods. And we both know that second part's not going to happen. So that's Tiger. Speaking of massive stars, it was the Laver Cup over the weekend.
Ah.
On Friday, I completely butchered this. But hey, it was Team Europe versus Team World. And of course, Roger Federer's Team Europe. Everyone goes, oh, Roger Federer's the biggest sports star in the world. No, he's a Swiss guy with a Nike headband. Let's not mix it up. Tiger Woods is the greatest thing in sport. So Roger and his European team, obviously they were heavily favored to win this because of individual talents. But the world team, with really big, tall guys like Kevin Anderson and Jack Sock and John Isner, they were always going to be quite dominant in the doubles. And it did play out that way. Anderson beat Djokovic was one of the big things. But ultimately, with guys like Federer and Zverev, the singles were always going to be just too strong. So they won that. The Laver Cup did the European team, and they retained their title. Okay. So good on them. Speaking of tennis, Serena Williams still seems to be at odds with her coach, not understanding why he would say that he was coaching, because they don't have a history of coaching on the court, and she doesn't have any secret signals with him. Ultimately, you'll keep seeing this in the news, because now Serena's not going to be able to basically escape what happened at the US Open. Right, wrong, love, hate, whatever your feelings are around her and the situation, the press are going to keep poking her, much like they keep poking Monica Lewinsky with that what happened with Bill, old chestnut. So yeah. Serena's going to be answering this until she basically says, you know what, screw it, I'm done with tennis, which might happen soon. I'm not tempting fate here, same might happen soon. John Mitchell, we all know who he was the guy who has a very, very intense look. Bald coach from New Zealand, speaks very softly and seems to be coaching everybody. He's what's known as a journeyman in the industry. And well, Bulls managed to get a decent payout because he was meant to be the Bulls coach for a 4-year period. Then it didn't go so well last year. I mean, they had the second worst defensive record in all of Super Rugby. Only the Sunwolves took in more tries. Mm-hmm. But England needed a defensive coach, and Eddie Jones was like, well, I'll take that guy. So John Mitchell's going over there, but he's not going to be permanently based in England. He's going to commute from South Africa, which
is interesting. That sounds like a bit of a ball ache. It's not exactly a two-hour flight to Cape Town.
It really isn't, Gareth. So Stuart Barnes, who's a respected rugby ex-player / journalist person, is basically saying, like, this is an absolute farce. Why the hell have they got John Mitchell? The guy's a failure. He's not even committed to live in England. Eddie Jones is losing the plot. So many people still believe that mostly because John Mitchell is bald and has an intense look to his face, that he is a really good coach. But yeah, I mean, look, he did wonders with the Lions. Good on that. The Lions were on the up and up, and mostly because of him. But he had like this little stint in America where he was also a commuting coach from here. Very odd. America's even further away than England. And then, of course, the Bulls fiasco, which just ended terribly. I mean, obviously, after Nolas Moreira, John Mitchell seemed like the messiah, but that was never going to work.
Nolas.
And now, well, Stuart Barnes asking some pretty decent questions about John Mitchell. He's a defensive coach for England, but he hasn't been a defensive coach in his career so far. He's been a head coach, he's been an assistant coach. He's even been an assistant coach for England during the Clive Woodward era, who also was bald of head and stern of look. So we'll see how this goes. But next year is the World Cup. So here's a guy who doesn't know a great deal about the current England players. He's not based in England. Blah, blah, blah.
Bald of head and stern of look.
Which just goes to show, Gareth, marketing and packaging, you can get away with a whole bunch of shit in life. Which makes me always wonder, like, maybe I should be a coach. Try it. Have the right meetings. Get drunk in the right places. Say the right words. Who knows? I could be a technical analysis for the box at some stage.
It might just be really easy.
All else fails, I'll go bald, and just get a stern look in my face. Take that, sorry. Money. Over the weekend, there was obviously football being played. So just to wrap up your sport for your Tuesday, Arsenal had a great win over the Everton. West Ham held Chelsea to a 0-0 draw. Also held to a draw was Man United, 1-1 against Wolves, which was a terrible result, really. It was the first time Alex Ferguson's actually watched a game at Old Trafford since he had that brain thing.
And, that brain thing.
And that was not a great comeback, was it? And what did I say last week? I said Man City was going to dick Cardiff about 6-0 after they lost it to Leon Mayonnaise. Well, 5-0 was the score there. So you're not so bad, sir.
You're making it up.
Burnley beat Bournemouth.
Leon Mayonnaise?
Burnley beat Bournemouth 4-0. Spurs beat Brighton 2-1. And Liverpool, they are completely unbeatable right now. Well, they've won all the games, so that's a really good start for them. Southampton 3-0. This weekend, Liverpool will be taking on Chelsea. But none of that matters because it is the Ryder Cup this week. Wow, it's exciting. Friday is just going to be goosebumps and all kinds of stuff. But the Box are also playing this week, so I look forward to more of that this week and other sporting things.
All right, Ben. That's it.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Is that it?
I think so.
Are you happy?
Covered a fair amount there.
All right, let's get Leon Mayonnaise.
Leon Mayonnaise. Made up, totally. He's just testing whether you're paying attention. All right, Sia, what do you got for us?
This morning I have some good news of a different kind. Let's put it that way. Do you know that term, look what the cat dragged in? Well, for this one owner, it wasn't exactly the term she wanted to use in this circumstance. Now, typical house cats might surprise their owners by bringing in, I don't know, birds or dead mice. But this particular owner was left shocked when she found that her cat dragged drugs into her home.
Cool kitty. Cat.
Good kitty.
But the cats actually saved the day. So listen to this. They are a British resident from Bristol, and they woke up yesterday to find that their furry companion had discovered a plastic bag full of what the police have deemed Class A substances during the night. So the cat apparently just did this, what they're now calling civic duty, by bringing the bag back to the house and actually stashed it in the bed of the owner the following day. And even though the owner was stunned by the discovery, she immediately alerted the police, and the police did an investigation, and they were able to go on further and find out that these are of course illegal substances, and they were able to close a case around this. So all thanks to one very inquisitive cat. The police at Ashley Police Team have been very grateful to this cat and how she's been able to spend her time around Bristol and finding a whole bag of drugs. Law enforcement officials still are not really sure where the bag came from, but they're just simply happy that the cat and the owner are safe. More than that, I'm just saying that I'm glad the owner didn't get implicated in this whole scenario.
Yeah, or if you had like an untrusting partner. It wasn't me. Even the cat must have brought it in.
Because the cat not only brought it into your home, but also stashed it in your bed. But
for a drug user, this cat is going to be a high-priced item. They're going to all want to buy this cat. I mean, it's obviously a one-off, but what
you don't see drug-sniffing cats in the police force, do you?
No, drug-stealing cats.
Pretty impressive.
That's actually what one of the police officers jokingly said. They're like, screw training dogs at this point. Cats are evidently doing the job, sure. So it's good. So I just thought, let me make you laugh this morning. Some unconventional good news. So
well, it's just
cat
as well,
saves the day.
It's just as well you said that, Sia, because I have a very non-complimentary email here.
Oh, I was waiting for the segue there. What's the segue? Drugs or cats?
Hello, guys. Long-time listener. First time I've emailed. I was happy to listen to you guys from 3 to 5 p.m. The drive home from school was funny and intellectually stimulating. Oh, that was ages ago. I was really happy to discover you and your team were back in action at 6 a.m., but got angry that I had to leave for school before I could hear the un-news. And I always chose to use the news of the un-news, news to use or lose, to have a good chuckle. The un-news is probably the funniest thing I've ever heard. And, oh, well, we still do that. You know we're still doing that, right? But fuck, said by Sia.
Oh.
That is the most horrible thing ever recorded.
Oh,
if I had wanted to hear horrible stories about pretentious people making an insignificant difference to poor and disabled people's lives, I could check out my Facebook feed. Am I the only one who feels this way? But I love Sia, but hell, that stuff is boring.
Sure.
Tips or suggestions.
So it doesn't warm your heart?
Well, listen. Tips or suggestions. Number one, I love Sia, and many people do, but the case... that if the Gareth Cliff Show feels Sia needs to do a segment to compensate for a lack of content, then Sia should research helpful tips or interesting facts about something you can do in a minimal amount of time.
Oh?
Yeah, we only have 2 hours of the awesome show. No need to waste that with Sia.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That is so harsh.
This morning, this was interesting, right? So I actually... this is why
I've always found it interesting.
What's their name?
That we get to that.
Oh, okay.
You know, don't start getting aggressive. Okay. You're like, just like Ben. Whenever someone calls in to give Ben shit, he wants to know their name.
But that's what they want, Gareth. That's what they want. They want the shit. They want the fire.
That we lighten up your heart some way.
Yeah, you see, you're killing it by saying that. This person's going, see, I told you.
Oh,
shit like that.
And someone says,
let me just keep quiet. Okay.
I want a drunk show requested by listeners. It's not a half-assed shooter at 2 a.m. When I heard that request, it reminded me of a show called Drunk History. Gareth, you are not restricted to record a podcast from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., are you? No, so we'll do one. Drunk. Properly. What people really want to hear is you guys in the most relaxed and fun state, not taking shots at 7 a.m., but taking shots at any time and talking shit and having fun about history or whatever.
Can we set up like an unofficial outside broadcast at the Syrian restaurant up the road?
What Syrian?
I'm sure they wouldn't mind. And then we get drunk there.
Okay.
And like the background noise will be very off-putting. And we'll smoke hublies and...
Sorry, Nola, what did you say?
That sounds like a lot of
yeah,
fun.
It does.
I'd have to get there 2 hours before because it takes a lot to get me drunk.
To get to our level.
Someone says, more banter, less facts. We live in a world where information is practically free. People listen to the GCS to hear what the team's opinion, feelings, reaction is. Don't waste time saying stuff people already know. I think that's the reason why the show, when Gord comes into the studio, is fun. The witty and funny banter is what makes the show.
Because right. Gord makes up the facts.
Yo, I was waiting for
like
that.
His father meeting Christopher Robin.
Christopher Robin. Robin.
People love the show. People like to party. And people who like to party want to listen to people partying. That's what this whole very long email is. And it's not signed. It's by anonymous.
Yeah.
Mm. No, there isn't even a name.
Right, well, thanks for that, Jonathan Witt.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of information. There's a whole lot of suggestions from this person. So there we go.
I'll continue lighting.
Don't let it be said that we don't read out even critical emails. All right? We'll come back with some news in a minute or two and take your calls, your thoughts, whatever's on your mind. 0861-555-189. Tell us what's going on, how you made your weekend. Exceptionally fun if you did something cool for Heritage Day. And I think we have that's the end of our public holidays for the year, eh? Up to Christmas.
Oh no. Wait, yeah. August.
Because there's the 16th of December, but that's I think it falls on a Saturday.
That's Day of Reconciliation.
Something like that. Doesn't matter what it is.
One of those.
It doesn't matter what it is. Nobody, it's
like Day of Christmas shopping. Really.
Yeah. Everyone's already in the Christmas spirit by then.
Day of Christmas shopping. That's exactly what it says on my calendar, Ben. See? Now you know. All right. When we come back, we'll get stuck into some news stories. Leanne's got some things on her mind that she wants to get out there and take your thoughts. 0861-555-189. Tell us what's up.
CliffCentral.com.